Job chapter 1, your Bibles tonight. Job chapter 1. The Lord knows what He's doing.
Yes, He does.
And He doeth all things well. Too wise to make a mistake. And He loves us too much to bring us harm. There are times when we hurt. And I heard a message years ago. As a matter of fact, there's a book that I saw. And the book, the title of the book was When the Touch of God Hurts. And sometimes the touch of God does hurt, but it never harms. There's a difference, you know. There's a difference. It's always for our good. And it's always for His glory.
Amen.
And even when we don't see that, we need to believe that. Faith is, you know, the world is, you know, seeing is believing. Well, no, believing is seeing.
Right.
That's how it's supposed to work for the believer. Amen. And you may not see it now, but believe it. And God, eventually He'll bring it to pass where you can see what He's doing. And that's kind of what I want to preach on tonight. Job chapter 1, you found your place in your Bible. I invite you to stand with me if you're able. Read the first 12 verses. And it is a real joy to have my parents here in the service tonight. Thank God for a godly dad and a godly mom.
Amen.
And I realize not everybody has that.
Right.
And as we get further and further, closer to the Lord's coming, fewer and fewer people are going to have that.
Right.
And so I don't take that for granted at all. And what I know about the Bible, I learned from my dad. What I know about singing, I learned from my mom. And that's pretty much all I do now is just preach and sing. So I owe a lot to them. And I'm thankful they could be here tonight.
Amen.
Job chapter 1, beginning verse number 1. The Bible says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. My, what a great example of what a godly father ought to be doing. Amen. Praying, sacrificing for his children. And he prayed, he wasn't just praying that they would do right. He was praying that they would be right. He said, even if they cursed you in their heart, I want them to get that right with you.
Amen.
So he was doing all this. He's a great man. He was greatly blessed. He was a perfect and upright man according to the Bible. But now we know that things are going to change, at least outwardly, for Job, beginning verse number 6. The scripture says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy hand or in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. We're going to stop reading there. I'm interested in verse number 10 as our text, where Satan talks about the hedge. And I want to preach tonight a little while on this thought, in the hedge. In the hedge. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you, God, for your grace, your mercy, your love. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And God, what a precious treasure we have in the word of God. Lord, these things that were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, that through comfort and patience that we might have comfort and hope. And Lord, thank you for these stories. Lord, we read this story about Job. This is not a fairy tale or a fictional story. This is a true story. There's a real man who had all these things that we read about in this book. He had all these things happen to him. And God, this is a testimony of how you've seen him through. And Lord, it encourages us to know that you'll see us through as well. But God, I pray that we'll see tonight, maybe a little differently. We'll see some things about Job, and maybe we'll have some questions answered in our hearts tonight from your word about Job and about this hedge. And God, I pray that we'd take it to heart, and Father, that we would learn from this, and we would honor you in the days to come. Lord, each and every one of us, we're going to face things tomorrow and the next day and the days following until you come back for us or until we go home to heaven. Lord, there's going to be things in our lives that we're going to face and we're going to have questions. God, I pray that you'd help us to see that you're a God who can be trusted and there's things that you are wanting to accomplish in every circumstance in our life. And God, I pray that we would trust you on it, Lord. And I pray that Jesus Christ would be magnified in our midst tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. In our text here tonight, it's a well-known story. A lot of people that don't even really know a lot about the Bible, they've heard of Job because he stands as a picture and as a type of suffering, a man who suffered greatly. And, you know, most of the time when you hear somebody comparing their trials to Job, we get a little at least I do, I get a little feeling of, you have no idea. You have no idea what Job went through. You know, the car breaks down and we start feeling like Job. Oh, my. Now listen, this guy went through it. He went through it. And he was a good man. He loved God. If there was ever a person in this time frame that of history that knew about God, it would be Job. And people would go to Job and ask him about God. Because they saw in his life not just the fact that he was increased with goods and blessed and had all of these things, but they saw in him a genuine man who genuinely knew God and wanted to live for God. And listen, let's not make the Bible say what it doesn't say. It does not say that Job was sinless. Amen? A lot of times we see perfect and we think, oh, that means he was sinless. No. And when it says he was perfect and upright, it's describing his heart toward God. He had a heart toward God. He was genuine. He was sincere. He wanted to please God with his life, and he wanted to walk in a way that pleased God, and he did so. He feared God, and he eschewed evil. Listen, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And this is Job. And he had 10 children. And God blessed him with a lot of children, and he blessed him with a lot of substance. He has all of these things, and these things have not drawn his heart away from God. How many times have we seen people blessed with earthly goods, and those earthly goods and possessions draw them away from God? Instead of praising God for what they have, they instead praise the things that they have and forget about God. Job was not one of these. He was a sincere man. He loved the Lord. And yet we read of this story in Job's life, and we haven't even really got into the suffering part, but we do understand, and you, if you're familiar at all with Job, you know what he went through. He lost everything. I think about it, my mind and my prayers are just with the folks in the Carolinas. I mentioned them this morning. All that they've lost. I mean, I've seen different interviews and they say, we've lost everything. They lost their home and they can't go to work. And many of them lost their families. Their entire families killed in this flood and in this hurricane. And so Job, listen, most of us, we've never been through something like this, but it could happen. We look at Job, we look at the response that he had, and we're encouraged by it. But you know, there was something that was interesting as I was reading about this hedge. The hedge doesn't come up very many times in the Bible. It's only mentioned a handful of times in the Bible. But when we think about a hedge, we think about Job. And we think about the protection. And when we think about a hedge, you know, we talk about hedges today. People have hedges around their properties, whatever. And most of them are just decorative. You know, they might provide some privacy. But they're not really a barrier to keep anything out. But hedges in these days were very different than what we have today. They were thickets. They were thorns. They were very, very tightly woven and grown together to provide protection to keep evil beasts from cattle and from pests from their gardens and that type of thing. They were very strong. They were set there on purpose to protect what was inside. And when Satan comes to the Lord is the one who brings up Job. Isn't that right? He's the one who brings up Job. He said, have you considered my servant Job? Well, you can tell by Satan's response, he had considered Job. Right? He knew exactly what the thing was that Job was going through. And he had this hypothesis that Job served God because of what God did for him. And so the Lord, listen, the Lord allows Satan access to Job in the hedge. Right. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've read this I don't know how many times. And when I read this, when I think about the hedge, what I think about and what I've always had in my mind is that the Lord had Job in this hedge, but then Satan came along and the Lord agreed to remove the hedge. But you know what? I don't believe that's what happened here. See, the hedge is God's protection. Right. Is that right? And even though Job is going to go through a lot of suffering and loss, he is still going to be protected by God. Amen. He never leaves the protective hand of God. You say, what do you mean? Well, look again at verse number 11 or verse 12. The Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. You know what he's doing? He's giving limitations to what Satan can do. You know what that tells me? Job is still in the hedge. Amen. Look at chapter 3, if you will. Chapter 3 of Job. And look at verse number 23. Job is now, this is his first complaint. He's finally opened his mouth and he's speaking. Verse 23, he says this, why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath what? Hedged in. See, there was a time when Job was in the hedge and all was well in the hedge. Is that right? But now Satan has access to the hedge. It's not that Job's out of the hedge, it's that Satan's in it. And now Job wants out. Hey, this thing that used to be my protection, now it's like it's walls holding me in. Right. I want to get out of here. Yep. Listen, we can look at this hedge. It is God's protection. But could we also say this? It's God's will.
Sure, man.
It's God's will.
Yeah. Right.
Job is where God wants him to be, but things are getting hard, and so Job wants out.
Yep.
He said, hey, God's got me hedged in here. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants to get us to the place where we're willing to leave God's will to make ourselves more comfortable.
Right.
And so in this hedge, you've got Job in the hedge. At first, there's security in the hedge, but now Satan's in the hedge. And because Satan's in the hedge, now there's suffering in the hedge. In Lamentations chapter 3, the writer of Lamentations, he said this in verse 7, "He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out." You ever felt trapped? It seems like there's just suffering going on, and you feel like it would be easier or better if I was outside of this situation that I'm in. Can I remind us tonight, God is at work in the hedge, even when things are uncomfortable.
Right.
When look, when that hedge is built and grown, we think it's just a way to keep bad things from coming in. But you know what? God's got another plan for that too. It's from keep us from getting out.
Yep.
That's the temptation. When trouble comes, when suffering comes, when loss and tragedy. When you go down through here, and we'll read through here just a little bit, just to remind us. Look at verse number 13. There was a day, Job chapter 1, verse 13, there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. There came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Now look at this next phrase, verse 16. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The fire of God," not the fire of Satan, "the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." What's the next phrase? While he was yet speaking. There came also another and said, "The Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." What's the next phrase? This is unbelievable. But it's believable because it's in the Bible. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in thy eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." You know what's happening here? Loss is coming in waves in Job's life. And sometimes, listen, life is seasons. Is that right? We go through seasons of life. There's seasons of fruitfulness, but there are also seasons of loss. And sometimes it just seems like when you're in a season of loss, it just comes wave after wave, blow after blow. You feel like the devil's just in there beating you up. And you're tempted to question where God is in all of this thing. Where is God? And here's the big one. Why am I going through this? Why? The majority of this book is going to be Job and his friends discussing that very thing. Why? And everybody's got their own idea. And pretty much none of them are right. Not even Job. Job's going to say some things in this book. And look, I know most of the songs about Job are chapter 1 and chapter 2.
That's right.
That's when we write the songs. Because that's when he's doing really good.
Yep.
And that's good. We should focus on when people do well. But you know what? He's going to mess up in here a little bit.
Yep.
He's going to say some things that he wished he didn't say.
Yep. Sorry.
Can I give us a word of instruction, a word of caution? Let's be gracious when people are hurting.
There you go.
Because when we're hurting, we tend to say things we wish we didn't say.
Yep.
And let's not be like Job's three friends and jump on him. especially when we're not the ones going through the suffering. Amen.
Amen.
I will give you this. Job's three friends, they sat there for 7 days and didn't say a word. And most people won't keep shut for 7 minutes. They've already got it figured out. Why this is happening to you, what God is doing, and what you need to do. They got it all figured out. They sat there for 7 days. They didn't say a word. Then Job opens his mouth and he cursed his day. That's how he started. Now listen, at the beginning when all this first happened, he said, naked came I into this, came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
What a great first response.
Yes.
He worshiped. And by the way, the scripture doesn't say, Job didn't say the Lord giveth. Well, usually when we quote it, we say, the Lord giveth and the Lord hath taken away. No, he said the Lord gave.
Yep.
You know what he's saying? I'm not counting on any more.
Yep.
You know why Job said that? He didn't deserve it. He didn't deserve it the first time around.
Amen.
We should not presume upon the grace of God.
Right.
He does not have to give us one more blessing.
Right.
He just does so because he's good.
Well,
here's our society today. I want what's coming to me. Oh, no, you don't.
Nope. That's right.
I want what I deserve. I have my rights. Here's your right. Hell.
Right.
That's your right.
That's right.
That's what you deserve.
Right.
That's what I deserve. That's what all of us deserve. It's because of the grace and mercy of God that we get heaven.
Amen.
Stop crying about your rights. Start counting your blessings. Amen.
Amen.
But here's Job, he's going through it, man, he's starting to say some stuff. He does not understand. For a long time, he doesn't understand. Nobody understands. His friends, I went through the book of Job, and I counted a while back how many times his friends directly or indirectly call him wicked. 14 times. They say, well, Job, you're wicked, and that's why this is happening to you. His family doesn't understand. What's left of his family, his wife, she doesn't understand. And by the way, she's suffering too. And she said, curse God and die. I'd never say that. You better be careful. And so Job, listen. At a time, he was enjoying being in that hedge because there seemed to be, everything was good. Everything was secure. There was safety in there. Now Satan's in there.
Yep.
And suffering's coming in waves, and he's losing. And listen, here's the big thing. He can't find God.
Yep.
Look at chapter 23, Job chapter 23. Trying to help us tonight.
Yes, sir.
Because things may be going well for you right now, but just listen, things could turn just as quickly as it did for those folks in the Carolinas.
Right.
Just as quickly.
Yeah.
I found this out. If you're not intentional in living for God and loving God, regardless what happens, if you're not intentional on that thing, you're going to have a wrong response when suffering comes.
Right.
If you haven't decided beforehand, in Job 23, look at verse number 1. Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. And it was that phrase, my. Most of us, our groaning is heavier than our stroke. Come on. But Job, you know what he's saying? I'm not overplaying this. I'm not making up suffering so people will feel bad for me. He's genuinely going through it. Look what he says in verse 3. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. That it might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. Here's Job. He said, I can't find God. I'm looking for him because I really need him right now. And he says things here, and the Holy Spirit records things here that we think but don't say. If I could find God, I would just tell him what I'm feeling. I would order my cause before him. You know what he's saying? I've got my case. I've got my case laid out, and here's my arguments. Here's my complaints. This is the answers that I want, that I need. But I can't find him. He's gone silent. He's not speaking to me. And I know if I could find him, he would put strength in me.
Amen.
Even though Job, he's got all these complaints he wants to give to God, he still knows that God is good. And he still believes that God would strengthen him, and he feels like he's got to see God at this point in time, and God's not anywhere to be found.
Yep.
Look what he says in verse number 8. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. Everybody just tell you, well, just keep going forward. Right? You ever heard that?
Yeah.
Well, just keep going forward. That's not bad advice. But I'm telling you, you may keep going forward and you still don't find him.
Right.
And backward, but I cannot perceive him. There's other people tell you go back. Amen?
Yeah.
Well, you just need to go back to where you messed up and then you'll find him.
Yeah.
Well, in Job's case, he didn't mess up.
Right.
You say, how can you say that? Because at the end, you know what the Lord's going to say to Job? He's going to say, hey, there are three friends. They did not speak the truth concerning me.
Right.
They didn't know what they're talking about. You know what he's saying? He's vindicating Job. He's saying, you're not suffering because you did something wrong.
Right.
Now, let's just be honest. Most of our suffering we bring on ourselves.
Yep.
Probably.
Yep.
But sometimes that's not the reason why. But God's still got a purpose.
Right.
Still got a purpose. He says, I go back. I can't perceive him. Verse 9, on the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. So he's looking everywhere for God. And God, at this point, has kept himself from Job, at least to Job's recollection or ability to see. Say, why would he do that? Listen, faith and trust have to be cultivated in the believer's life. And if you see it first, you'll never truly believe it the way you need to. Say, what do you mean, preacher? I mean this. We have to take God at his word,
Amen. Even
when we don't see him,
right,
and we don't feel him,
right,
and we don't understand him,
right,
we have to say God is true and God is right.
Yep.
Listen, that's when your faith really grows.
Amen.
So you say, I'm looking everywhere, but I can't see him. There's security in the hedge. Now there's Satan in the hedge. Now there's suffering in the hedge. But listen, there will be seeing in the hedge. There will be. You might ask, why would God allow this to happen? You know, at the end of the book, Job has 10 more children, right? He's got all his goods back, more than he had before. He's got everything that he had at the beginning of the book. Right? So if it was about the things, the middle part of the book would not even need to exist. That, see, we're too in tune with things And so we look at it that way. We say, well, he ended up with what he had at the beginning. So what was the purpose of the in-between? God was going to do something for Job that was much more important than any of those things. The question why, you know, people say, well, it was all about God being right about Job and Satan being wrong about Job. Listen, God already knew he was right about Job. God knew how this was going to end before it even happened. This wasn't some cruel test that the Lord was playing with Job's life and with Job's heart so he could prove the devil wrong. No. The Lord doesn't do that. And you say, well, maybe the reason why is so that God could showcase his power in Job's life and show that he's powerful and can do great things. And certainly we see that, but there's something deeper going on here. God had something special in mind for Job through all of this. Yes, God blessed Job abundantly. Once again, he got all those things. But the greatest work that we find, what God did for Job in all of this, look at chapter 42. Chapter 42. It's so simple, you may not think it even matters or it could amount to the suffering that he went through. But what Job gained in this was of far greater value than everything that he lost. Job 42, verse 1, then Job answered the Lord. You know, the friends and everybody were talking all through the book, and finally the Lord speaks up. The last three chapters or so, the Lord's speaking. You know what he's saying? I'm God and you're not. And so Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. You know what he's saying? I didn't know what I was talking about. Now look at verse number 5. Look at verse 5 of Job 42. This is what Job says. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now. Mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. You know what Job said? I thought I knew you before. I've heard of thee. And listen, faith cometh by hearing. That's where it begins. Hearing by the word of God. It's not that Job didn't know God at all. But Job found out about God in a deeper and more meaningful way. He saw God like he'd never seen him before through these sufferings. Amen. Listen, in your life, when do you get closer to God? When does God's word become more real to your heart? When does the Spirit of God comfort you in a greater way than it is when we suffer?
Yes, sir. That's right.
And the things that we lose cannot be compared with what we gain in getting closer to God.
Yeah,
seeing Him in His fullness, in His power, in His grace, in His love, in His kindness toward us.
Amen.
See His character. To see His heart. When we look at this, if we're just looking through a human standpoint, the eyes of flesh, we look at this and we could come away from the story of Job seeing or thinking that God is cruel. But you know what we find? We find God in His grace sometimes removes things from our lives that are keeping us from seeing Him so that He can reveal Himself in a greater way?
Amen.
Job said, you know what? Before this happened, people would come to me and ask me about God. And I thought I knew about you. And I'd tell them what I knew about you. But I had no idea. I did not know what I was talking about.
Amen.
But now, through all of these things and all the, listen, even the times when I did not perceive you, those were times that you were drawing me closer. Go back to Job 23. Look at this. Look at this. Trying to help us tonight. Listen, we are so focused on things below. We are so focused on the things of this world. And honestly, I'll tell you why. It's because we have so much. You go to places where they don't have all this stuff. The things of the world don't really, they don't hold them down at all. Man, the church over in Saudi Arabia and China, man, they're just looking for the Lord to come back. They're excited about the Lord coming back. They want to see Him. We've got so much. Listen, just like Job, we're abundantly blessed. And many times, though our heart is toward the Lord and we want to love the Lord, listen, I don't think if you didn't love the Lord, I don't think you'd be here. You have a desire to please God. And a desire to know God and a desire to live a life that's pleasing to Him. But you know what? A lot of times the stuff in our lives gets in the way of seeing Him for who He is and seeing how wonderful He is.
Amen.
He's wonderful even without all the stuff.
Yep.
Look. We left off in verse 9 where Job's saying, I'm looking everywhere, I can't find him. But look at verse number 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. You know what he's saying? I can't find him, but he knows exactly where I am.
Amen.
I don't know which way I'm going, but he knows which way I'm going. My friends don't understand the path that I'm on, but he knows. If he knows, that's all that matters.
Amen.
Don't let it bother you. Somebody asks you, what's going on in your life? Don't let it bother you if you don't know the answer to that. I don't know. I don't know what's happening. What's God trying to teach you? I don't know. Those are very freeing words. You need to learn how to say them. I don't know. I don't know. There's things to go through. I don't know, preacher. I don't know why.
Right.
I don't know why this and this happens to some people and it doesn't happen to other people.
Right.
I don't know. But he knows.
Amen.
I just don't see it, preacher. I don't either. But he does.
Right.
Really, that's all that matters. He knoweth the way that I take. What did he say there at the end of that verse? When he's tried me. Right? When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. That's faith.
Amen.
That's faith. People talk about how faith is just a New Testament thing. Do they even read the Old Testament? You know, there's a whole chapter in the New Testament about the faith of the Old Testament people. This is faith right here.
Amen.
He said, I don't know what's going on. Of course, all of his friends know exactly what's going on. Oh, yeah. And they'll be very willing to tell you. But they didn't know either. But the Lord knows.
Amen.
This is what the Lord was doing. He was taking everything out of the way. So that Job, listen, Job at the end, you know what he was doing there after all those trials? He was sitting in an ash heap.
Yep.
He had boils all over his body. I got boils one time when I was over in Africa. Drank some bad water. So, I'm telling you, that was terrible pain. Never comfortable. No matter which way I was, just so uncomfortable, so painful. Here's Job, covered head to toe in boils. And he's got, his only comfort is some broken pottery, potsherd, and he's scraping the boils. He's scraping the wounds.
Amen.
You know what God's doing? He's using a broken thing to help a broken thing.
Amen. That's right, too. Wait.
And listen, God many times in our lives, He takes us through that breaking process so we can help someone else who's going to be going through that very same process. And Job, listen, he doesn't have anything left. There's nothing left to look to. So when there's nothing left to look to, you look to God.
Amen.
And at the end of this thing, he said, listen, boy, I thought I knew you. But my, now I see you.
Amen.
You know, one day our faith is going to become sight.
Amen.
And I'm excited about that. But you know, in a way, I'm kind of going to miss that faith. Because there's a real comfort in just placing faith in the one that you cannot see with these
Amen.
Eyes. And just knowing that He sees you.
Amen.
At the end of this thing, Job said, I see you now. And I know your plan is great. And I know I'm going to be better because of this. I'm going to come forth as gold. See, the last thing in that hedge, the Savior was in the hedge. Look with me. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 4. I told you the hedge only comes up a few times in the Scripture. This is the first time. Y'all ever heard of the law of first mention? Law of first mention, just I'm sure you have, because you have a tremendous preacher. And if you've talked to him at all, maybe he's mentioned this, the law of first mention. When you see a word the first time in the Bible, it sets a precedent. That context will set a precedent throughout the Scripture. You'll see that throughout the Scripture. And the first mention of the hedge is found here in the genealogies. Dad and I were talking this afternoon. He's reading in the genealogies. And he was asking, what do you think? Why do you think God put these in here? So we're talking a little bit about it. And if you want to know more about it, talk to him. But right here in the genealogies, we find the hedge, first time mentioned. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And look at verse 23. These were the potters and those that dwelt among plants and hedges. Now look at this. There they dwelt with who? The king. Why? For his work.
Amen.
You know what the Lord was doing in that hedge? And eventually he's going to kick Satan back out of that hedge. And Job's going to see the Savior in that hedge.
Amen.
And he's going to understand the Lord was with me all along. I couldn't see him. I couldn't find him, but he never left me. He was there the whole time. And what he was doing, he was like a potter. He was fashioning me. And as a king, he was over everything happening in that hedge. And what was going on in there was for his work. His work was being performed. That's why it's called the fire of God. It wasn't the fire of Satan. God was allowing these things and God was using these things to make Job better.
Amen.
And to help him to see him better.
That's good. Yes, sir.
And there was a time where he couldn't see him at all. It's like when you go to the eye doctor. They say, oh, you need glasses. Give me the old ones. You take those old ones off, you're in a bad spot. Right? But you just wait till those new ones come in. Now we see through a glass darkly, don't we?
Yes,
sometimes it's hard to see the Lord.
Yep.
You look at the world around us, you look at the political landscape, you look at this and that and the other. Where is God in all of this?
Right.
God is in control.
Amen.
And these things, you say, my, it's really, things are getting out of hand, things are getting out of control. No, things are happening just the way the Bible said they would.
Amen.
Let that encourage you. Don't be discouraged by Fox News. Be encouraged by the Bible.
Amen.
Because everything that's happening, we read of right here in this book, things are not winding down, they're winding up.
Amen.
Amen. And one of these days, we're going to get out of here. Our faith is going to become sight. We're going to be with our Savior forever. There'll be no more trials, no more loss, no more pain, no more questions. We'll have all the answers one day.
Amen.
Know what He calls on us to do now? Just trust Him.
Right.
He knows what He's doing.
Yep.
If I can just figure out why this is happening, you may not know for a long time. But understand, He's in control. And the things that He's doing, the things that He's allowing in that hedge, He has a purpose for. And it's an eternal purpose. You just got to trust Him.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word tonight. Thank You, God, for the hedge. Lord, we sure enjoy it when the hedge is peaceful and prosperous. But God, we understand that there are times, there are seasons when there's trouble in there. There's loss and there's pain. There may be times we don't understand and we don't see. But Lord, one day, I know that our faith will become sight. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And His feet will stand on the earth in the last day. I know He's coming back. We can gather from what Job was saying that he was saying, Lord, I know there's coming a day, Lord, when You're going to fix all of this. Lord, we say amen to that. We know there's coming a day. You're going to straighten every crooked thing. You are going to bring down every high thing and You're going to raise up every low thing. You are going to fix it. God, help us between now and then just to have faith that Your plan is in place and Your way is best. Lord, maybe there's someone in here tonight and they're going through it. Maybe they're suffering in their heads right now. They don't understand. God, I pray that You just help them to trust You. Do their very best to just keep their feet on that path that You've laid out before them. And even if they can't see You, Lord, that they would understand that You see them. In Jesus' name I pray. Let's stand together. These altars are open. I invite you to come.